Finally, we get to talk about the one thing we love the most, music. So we're listening to stuff. We're going to talk to artists, bands, and musicians about their project and what inspired them to do what they love and all things music. All right, we are back with another episode of Listening to Stuff, which is the side new segment of We're Watching Stuff that I normally do with my wife, Nicole. I am Corbin Wilkins. And today I am talking with Matthew of the Happy Pill Academy, all the way from London. That's insane. This is so cool that we get to do this right now. There might be a little delay.
It's brilliant. Like, it's the kind of living this kind of...
Right, yeah. And it might be a little delay, but I will fix it.
It's because you're so far,
right? For the most part. Well, I just wanted to talk to you about your project. I've been listening to... it's the album before your Dragon one, right? It's the Kerosene?
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot
matches
of that.
Matches and Time.
Yeah, Kerosene, Matches and Time. Yes, awesome. I put that one on some of my playlists and I listened to it a bunch. And then you just released a new one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's called the Dragon Remix?
It's called the Dragon EP.
The Dragon EP, yeah.
Yeah, depending on where you get it. On Spotify, they've kind of cut off the EP, so it just says the Dragon.
Yeah, I mean... More powerful, I guess. that better grab attention now that it's a dragon.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's it was about time that Spotify had a prog rock version of a dragon track. Right. So right.
That's awesome. And you kind of describe your sound more prog rock, or do you have any other like genre?
This in particular, it is kind of very proggy, but because it's a remix EP, it's quite an eclectic EP. There's 80s metal, there's EDM, there's kind of chill, trance. So it's a really good mix of genres.
That's awesome. Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. And you said that one is on Spotify?
Yeah, that is. Yeah,
that's the one where it doesn't say EP, right?
It just says the Dragon. It was released like last week. It's just the Dragon. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll throw that on a few playlists and start listening to it this week too. I love new music.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Do you have, when did your last album come out? The Kerosene's, and I'll just call it Kerosene from now.
Kerosene came out the start of 2018. Okay. I recorded it starting at the end of 2017, all the way through 2018. Okay. And then about halfway through 2018, I finished it and then just left it and just kind of walked away from it for a little while.
That happens. Yeah. I know the feeling of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to take a step back from the project so you can think about it some more.
Yeah. I think that was the kind of weird thing that it was finished to the best of my ability. Yeah. My ability as a producer being minimal, right. Which is why it has a very lo-fi kind of sound. And I just needed a break. So I just, walked away from it for about 3 or 4 months. And then went, I should probably release this after all. Yeah.
I kind of went through the same thing. I have a little side called Atlas 11. And I was just, I sat on them for a year. And I was like, you know what? Like, I can't just keep sitting on these. Screw it. I'm going to put them all out. And I just kept pushing them out.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you got to do. I mean, you made it for yourself and you made it for others to hear. So, like, just get it out there. Fuck it. Just put it up there.
And, I was having the same conversation with a friend of mine, a lass called Anne Sumner, who does very sort of folky, but really, really kind of like fun stuff.
Awesome.
I was chatting to her at a gig and she said, like, I've got these recordings. I don't know what to do with them. And the gist of the conversation was like, well, you should release them.
Just put them online, man. Everyone's always looking for new music. And, you know, and if you feel like you're doing right, then why not release it? Because that means someone out there will like it. And the more songs you have and the more variety in your songs, like, okay, well, you didn't like this song. Well, you might like that one, you know? And you know, like, I don't care if I'm a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'd be happy with a hit. It wouldn't bother me. I don't think a seven-minute-long song about a lonely dragon will be that hit, but, you know.
True, but, you know, it's something that I would listen to. Like, yeah, I have exactly. A few friends that I'm pretty sure that would listen to that, too.
You write this stuff for yourself.
Right.
This is a project that really was just kind of a bit, you know, a little self-indulgent, mm-hmm. a little kind of silly, but was a kind of fun and interesting collaborative thing to do. That was the kind of mainstay of this. It evolved very quickly into a very collaborative process, which I'd not done before.
That's awesome. I mean, like, it's always, I don't know, in my opinion, it's always two brains to one project will definitely make things smoother and funner. I mean, hate to give Lennon and McCartney as an example, but I mean, there's a lot of duos out there that you're just like, yeah, two brains. And collaborating with other artists just expands way more on the spectrum. That's what I was doing with Atlas 11, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, we spoke very, very briefly about doing some vocals for it, and I think you'd already kind of found someone to do some
my
work,
first EP was already finished, but I have three more finished, and don't worry, I'll send some tracks over. I have a lot of fun.
All right,
with these.
Man. I say okay.
Right? Oh yeah, it's a whole story. It's so much fun.
Good. The collaborative side of things was because I wrote the first album. I wrote Kerosene completely isolated.
Okay.
I wrote all the songs on my own. I produced the whole thing on my own with like a couple of microphones lying around in a spare bedroom kind of thing, with a really bad electric guitar. an acoustic bass for some reason.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with an acoustic bass. I'm a bass player. I confirm that acoustic basses are fine.
And it was kind of, I suppose, I'd started it as a project rather than a solo project. So it kind of turning into something more than over the course of the Dragon. It was really nice, really fun. I think I added it up, and it's about 17 people in total that helped on the EP.
That's so cool.
So, yeah, it's amazing.
That is awesome. I mean, if it helps, Atlas 11, I think, was 3 to 5 people. So
that's cool, though. Like you said.
I mean, you had way more fun. Man, that's so cool. 17 people. Oh, I'm jealous. Yeah. I wish I knew that many. No, I'm just kidding.
I did a gig once, and I was helping do the for it. And it's one of those gigs where they're like, can you try and bring like 10 people? And I'm with one of the other bands that was playing, and I sent him the artwork, and he went, great, well, I'll see you there. And I was like, yeah, now I try and round up 10 people. Like, I'm not sure I know that many people.
I guess, like, in my, like, in the town that I play in, I get more. Oh, I got a text message. In my town, it's more. It's more of a, like, in my area, I can definitely bring in a little bit more than 10 people, but going out, like, I can do my best to bring 10. Usually the 10 people I know are musicians.
Yeah. It was one of those gigs where the people watching me were a few mates that I'd managed to round up and the other bands. Right.
And the other bands. I mean, that's how you build friendships with the other bands too. But then again, it's also like if you have bands that are playing with you that have the same fan base, it's like collectively, yeah, we can bring 10.
Actually, that's not a bad idea as a promoter. It's kind of like just it doesn't matter that you know they can only bring 10 between them. They can still bring
right,
10.
They can
that's
still
pretty
bring
good. 10.
Right. Perfect. Perfect. Right. But like I said, it's like the friendship that you can build as musicians and stuff, and you're just more happy to play together at that point. And even if like no one showed up, we're here for each other, and that's the fun part, in my opinion. Well, fans are nice.
Yeah, it's that kind of if you're very lucky, you know, you get to hang out with some very cool musicians, yeah. You get to play a bit of music, and if the paying public decide to rock up as well, then that's an added bonus. Right.
And I mean, that's why we do what we do. You know, we just do our best to put it out there, and if people like it, they'll hook on, and that's the fun part. Yeah, is like. Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, yeah, you just hope for the people to walk in. When they walk in, you get major fans, and that's awesome. That's so cool. I've walked into a few blues nights with that.
And it's the kind of.
I just walked into a few blues nights and played a little bit. And some people just like, hey, I like you. And they're like older people that wouldn't normally like the sound that we have. And I'm just like, thank you. And that's because you were there. You're awesome.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. it's always funny what happens just by showing up, I suppose, like whether you kind of meet another musician that you hit it off with, whether you meet like a potential kind of new fan, mm-hmm. or an opportunity that presents itself that, you know, you would have missed if you'd kind of just stayed at home jacking off and playing Xbox, right. Which is my second favorite thing.
I'm more of a PlayStation 4. I say best of both worlds. My brother has all of them, and I'm like, I'll stick with PS4. I can never get used to the Xbox controllers. It's weird.
What? No, okay. The Xbox controllers are so much better than the PlayStation controllers. Just it's the offset button. Okay, I'm just demonstrating.
I grew up with the Sony, so like. I think that's maybe what threw me off is that it's different, but I have a feeling it could be more comfortable. But every time I did it, I'm just like, no, that's not the X button. Damn. Like, so every time. Yeah.
Oh, man. Quality.
Do you have any other future releases planned?
Nothing planned at the moment. One of the really nice things that came out of the Dragon EP was collaborating really with my buddy James, who did all of the grunt work as far as the production was concerned. Right.
That's cool.
So he was mixing, he was kind of doing all the kind of EQing, like everything in Ableton. He's a whiz with Ableton, so it was amazing awesome. To watch it.
Ableton. I only have very little experience with
and,
Ableton.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Just very little.
It's complex.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. That's why I haven't messed with it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing that you can use on the surface and it's okay and you can get a lot out of it because I have just, and not really by learning how to use it other than playing around
for
with
sure.
it. But if you delve into it, it's this incredibly powerful tool and then you start to add the plugins and it can do some really amazing things with some very basic stem tracks,
right,
I guess.
Right. I mean, as long as you're keeping on time with yourself, I think you're fine. Like, but yeah,
loop
tracks are fun too, though. I've been messing with loops just because it's interesting feature to have, like with just sounds and looping them over and over as keyboard effects or whatever. I don't know.
Yep.
Another topic I like to bring up. Oh, wait. Actually, before I move into the movie part, who influenced you as a musician growing up, or how long have you been playing?
I guess sort of late teens, I started playing in a band with my brother.
Awesome.
So we're four-piece, sort of like grunge influence.
Cool.
And I guess I kind of grew up listening to Nirvana and R.E.M.
Yeah, Nirvana.
Yeah, so I have that affection for, you know, the kind of grunge scene and everything kind of sort of grungy and lo-fi.
Right.
But they were the two sort of big influences, I think, when I was first getting into bands.
That's cool, yeah.
But then I guess my tastes have varied over the years in terms of what I've listened to, but it's always had that kind of central kind of theme, I suppose. But these days I spend so much time listening to other indie musicians that in a way my genres have actually expanded.
Right. But I mean, like doing that too, like if you like the grunge.
Because I want,
Oh, you're fine. And you can do the grunge mixed with like the indie and make like this whole like new wave grunge stuff that's going on. And that's kind of like what I would say your sound is kind of sounding like, with a little bit of acoustic element, in my opinion, you know, because of the acoustic bass.
Yeah, obviously. That's, where would we be without the acoustic bass? I suppose that's it. It's kind of listening to other indie musicians now. And I mean, like, you know, people who have like 10, 15 followers right. on Spotify right. and, like, you know, maybe 100 people who've liked them on Facebook. I tend to kind of focus on those kinds of musicians because I like the fact that they're doing this as a passion mm-hmm. thing, and they don't expect anything from it. So I'm listening to a lot more genres now than I would normally Definitely. Have, which is cool. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good bonus. That and no, I agree. It's just the like, I'd rather listen to like the musician who's doing it because they want to than like a very very famous non-serious musician. It's like, it's an off-putting thing when you see a musician who's just goofs off and they're doing phenomenal and you're over here like,
yeah,
I've got 10 people at my gig.
Like, yes, 10
people. And I know them all personally. I win. It's, you know, like,
yeah. Like, and I will introduce myself to anyone I don't
right.
know. I sort of like that vibe, that kind of DIY musician, the kind mm-hmm. of bedroom indie scene, and, you know, these people that are kind of giving it their all. And I kind of feel like if a band has, you know, tens of thousands of followers or hundreds of thousands of followers, they don't really need me to listen to them right, anymore. Right. they're doing all right. Right.
I can listen to you, you know, when I feel like listening to you, but these guys, they need it.
Yeah, exactly.
They need it, and I like it.
I want to focus my efforts on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
On the little guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And the little guys supporting each other, I think, is enough for me because, in my opinion, it's to me like the competition in Greeley or Colorado. Sorry, I'm in Colorado.
Yeah.
The competition in the music here is ridiculous. And it's just like we're all here, we're doing this together. And if you support me, yeah. I'll support you. And if it's like you succeed, I will be overjoyed for you. If I succeed, I hope it's the same, you know, like. And that's all it is we're all doing this together. Just like, be cool about it.
It's easy to get competitive. And mm-hmm. I think certainly if you're genuinely trying to succeed as an artist or as a musician and gain some kind of like fame or notoriety or success, and it's easy to fall into that trap of like, right. well, if you succeed, that means I can't.
Right.
Yeah. But it's dumb.
Yeah, 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 no, agreed. And yeah, it's we're doing this together. And we're doing it together. Just play it cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And you said you've been playing since you were a teenager and you grew up with mostly Nirvana and,
yeah.
and some others. That's cool. I got some Nirvana, yeah. mostly some Chili Peppers in me. That's why I like some upbeat indie.
Yeah,
rock.
I love Chili
yeah,
Peppers.
I had to. My mom played bass in high school, and she was in like a thrash band, I think, and I was like, that's crazy. That's so crazy. She's like, yeah, I met Red Hot Chili Peppers when they do Sock Band, and I'm like, oh. That's crazy. Like, she met Tony Hawk. I'm like, yo, like, what the hell. Like, that's so cool. I want to meet Tony.
Oh, that's, yeah. Who wouldn't? That's outstanding, man. So you have a kind of musical background then, like it's just your family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think my mom might be the only musician. I know my grandpa played organ for a while. No, organ, piano,
oh, yeah?
Something. My grandma, I think, did something like that. Yeah, but I mean, I just nice. Kind of make it a goal to learn as much as I can because it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even if we never make it as successful rock stars, it is a fun hobby, yes. albeit an expensive one.
Well, yeah. They don't lie about that, driving to gigs that pay $100 and $5,000 cars and the $5,000 guitars. That's not a joke. I hope people see that meme and understand
it. No, this is serious. Like, people do.
And we do it because...
If you're lucky, you will get paid $50.
Right, $50. Right. In my opinion, I think our ultimate like our universal like language, if we ever do meet like extraterrestrial life, is music. Like, because imagine like an alien comes here and like, here's this, and we show them some Dylan, and then they're like, oh, here's this, and this is like Flobgork, and we're like, oh, okay. I can get into Flobgork.
Flobgork is pretty good, but I prefer his earlier stuff before he went electric.
That's awesome. Oh, I will listen to it out of respect. I will make sure these people don't attack us. If it means listening to Flabgork's latest album.
Yeah, which is, it's fine, but I mean, it got some kind of sort of critical applause, but on, I mean, the fans didn't like it as much. I think they drifted too far from the
drifted
groups.
Too far.
It's one of that, I mean. That's classic Flabgork. Yeah.
Recorded this on planet such and such of the such and such. Oh, okay. That makes sense. We nod and shake like we...
It has that such and such vibe to it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Before I wrap things up with your track at the end, I want to know your favorite movie. And we can go top three because it's hard to pick your favorite movie.
Yeah, it is. It's not hard for me to pick my favorite movie. It might be hard for me to pick my top three.
I mean, if you've got your favorite movie, go for it.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing in Las
Vegas.
Nice,
cool, classic.
Yeah.
I've seen it all the way through once, but yeah. It was my wife. My wife was like, you've never seen it? Put it on right now while I'm at work. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And I watched all the way through. I'm like, yes, like this makes so much sense into a lot of other references in other movies. Like, Rango or something.
It's, Rango is such a sweet movie. Right. And the way that it starts with the kind of Fear and Loathing reference is just amazing.
Right. We were all in theaters and I got it because I knew what the Fear and Loathing was back then, but I was just like, oh, cool. Like, and my wife was losing her mind over it. And I was like, it's so awesome. And it's cool that it was Johnny Depp, too. You know?
Oh, of course. I would thoroughly recommend watching the movie a whole bunch of times on a variety of different substances. and also kind of like read the book, man. It's one of the, I think it's one of the most pure adaptations of sort of like a book to a movie.
Awesome. Then I will definitely read it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think there's kind of, they cut one scene. I think they only cut one scene from the book. And they filmed it and it was on the DVD extras. Mm. And I was watching it thinking, yeah, I can see why they cut this. It doesn't work in the context of the movie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
At all. But it's this kind of, it's this such a vibrant film, and it's everyone kind of like bringing their A game. I think, you know, it's Depp, it's Del Toro, it's Gilliam, and all bringing this kind of this craziness, this kind of like this pure sort of chaos. Which I think if you read the kind of the production, it's classic Gilliam. It's all over the place in terms of production. Right. How they make a movie out of the kind of the onset nonsense that was going on is like a testament to the editor, you know?
Right. And Del Toro is already, he already oozes crazy, but in like a good way, you know, like, cause he's like, he's freaky, intimidating sometimes, but you're like, I don't care. Like, it's awesome. Like his role in The Wolfman, I kind of like liked, even though The Wolfman had its moments that weren't the greatest, but in the new Wolfman as Lawrence Talbot, I was like, yeah, like, holy crap, that's crazy. Like, you look insane right now. Like, just his shadows and, like, his skull features from it. You're like, yeah, that's a werewolf.
Yeah. He's a really malleable actor, right? I think. That's what, it's one of the endearing things about him, that he's able to kind of, like, and he does kind of move towards the kind of crazier side of the spectrum. But he's always able to kind of bring something with it as well, some kind of like some nuance and a little bit of kind
like
of
like, he's, if he's going crazy, he's going to do it right and for a legit reason, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like anyone can kind of pretend to be crazy, but it's trying to bring a rounded kind of character to that at the same time.
Right.
Is tricky. That's the kind of I think that's one of the things that Benicio del Toro does like brilliantly in pretty much anything that he does.
Right, and that's why he was just in Star Wars, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was in Solo.
Oh, he was in Solo?
No, he was in the Last Jedi, I think.
Yeah. And I was just, that was completely unexpected in my opinion. And then he was also in, Avengers as the Collector. Yeah. I was like, hey, cool. Or Guardians, whatever. Guardians and Avengers. Yeah. Okay.
I think he was in the Avengers,
Or Infinity War, I think. Yeah. When the Thanos went to go get the stones from him. I was just like,
spoiler. Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen Infinity War at this point, I'm sorry, because I've already spoiled.
Rewind.
I think I've also already spoiled Endgame because I was like, "Nah, we're far enough, far enough away from it." Not much.
I think Endgame is now okay. But,
right. And I wasn't Benicio in Snatch, with Brad Pitt.
I think Yeah.
Oh, I think he robbed like the Amish people.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
I think. In the intro of it, and then he doesn't he do crap. It's been forever. I'm gonna have to watch it again.
Yeah,
but all right. I think that's all we've got for now, and we're gonna air. You want to introduce your track that you're gonna play?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So there's, like I said, on the EP, the Dragon EP, there's seven versions of one song. This is my version of it, I suppose, is the way of putting it. It's not the best version. It's not the right version. It's just my version, because I got to choose the order. This one's first.
Oh, okay.
And it's a song about a dragon, but it's allegorical, I guess, to a certain extent. So it's not really about a dragon, and the dragon doesn't want to be a dragon anymore, basically.
Metaphorical.
And it's about 7 minutes, 11 seconds song, 11 seconds long. So, get something cozy, snuggle up and
greatly enjoy
and get some tissues. And enjoy
this ride with this amazing dragon, the dragon, the only dragon, according to Spotify.
The dragon. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for chatting with me today. It's been fun.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We were able to make it work, too.
Yes, absolutely. And, it was right down to the wire.
And I usually extend it to everyone that's been on here, like, since this was basically your intro episode. Like, if you ever wanted to come back and talk more movies or music, you're more than welcome to.
I would absolutely love that, Corbin. I really appreciate it. So, I'll give you a shout and let you know. But, I'd love
to. Cool. All right. Thank you again for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Wouldn't know where to start.
you're in.